from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
This is KJ and Lyons. KJ Carson and John Lyons right now on WEEI.
One high drive into center field. Duran chasing back at the track at the wall. Jaron leaps and did he catch it? Yes, he did. Home run robbery by Jaron Duran. He is screaming in the outfield. Spectacular defense, and they're two down.
What a player! What a job from Jaron Duran. This is a screaming line drive. This is not a pop fly where he can camp out and get it. He's racing the ball to the wall. He beats it there and absolutely just robbed a home run.
Second hour of KJ and Lyons on WEEI. Thank you for starting your Sunday with us. 617-779-7937 text line. 37937. Red Sox have won the last two against Baltimore. Impressive catch to rob a home run, which would have kept that game going, which I thought was a fascinating game last night, John. But Jaron Duran has had an interesting week, and it's good to see that he's back and producing, because I think if you looked at maybe Jaron Duran 2 years ago, maybe all of the things that happened over the last week would carry into the play and negatively affect him. I think this is a situation where getting back to ball has been the best thing for him.
Yeah, if you remember a couple of years ago when he had that inside the park home run ball go over his head.
Against Toronto, yeah.
Yeah, the 25-8 game, whatever it was. It felt like, and I don't have the exact numbers in front of me, but it felt like after that he just didn't play well for a while. Yeah. And it really got in his head. And last year he had some ups and downs. And I know there was other things in the outfield going on last year with Verdugo and stuff that were distractions. So he has this incident last week. He gets suspended, deservedly so. Comes back from it the first couple games. Doesn't look great, but then all of a sudden Friday night in Baltimore, plays well. Mm-hmm. Last night, plays well. And I think also, these were two really important wins for the Red Sox. To beat a great team in the Orioles in back-to-back games, including on Friday night, the Corbin Burns game, to win that. I mean, that was really important, I think, for the Red Sox to win those two games.
Yeah, especially, I think there are like 12 games under 500 going into the series against teams above 500. So that was the concern, was like, hey, you've been able to beat up on some of these sub 500 teams to keep yourself afloat. Now is where the real test happens. And it felt like last night's game was a must-win game to prevent from going down 3.5 games to the Royals in the wild card. Now they're 2.5 games out. And look, I have to give it to the Red Sox in one-run games. They're 15-8. And that's kind of been the issue in the past. This would have felt like last night's game, because Bayo was outstanding. I literally thought, I was like, oh my God, we may potentially start tomorrow's show off talking Red Sox in a no-hitter, because Bayo was just super confident, not to pick into a specific pitch, but he was on such a roll that there was a pitch, I think in the bottom of the fifth, where he does the delay delivery and it forces a pop out to center to Durant. And I was just like, wow, this guy's really confident with his stuff to be able to do something with like that inside of a no-hitter. So I take this as one of those positives, because Bayo's been up and down this year, right? This was probably one of his best outings of his entire career, despite it being a 1-1 game when he gives up the home run. The first hit he gives up is a home run. But then you're like, oh God, please don't let this leakage start to happen. Thankfully, the Red Sox were able to pile on runs and then get more runs towards the end and really break open the game. And it's just, I know that today's the rubber game, but if they lost last night's game, I think the conversation starts to point towards, can this team really catch the Royals or even the Twins or even the Orioles, who are in this wild card spot?
Yeah, and to your point, I mean, the Red Sox right now are in the middle of the most pivotal 3 weeks of their entire season, right? Started on August 5th, they took 2 out of 3 from the Royals, but then remember they got swept by Houston, just
right.
Looked totally outclassed in that series. Then they take 2 out of 3 from Texas, but they have that frustrating loss to end the series. Then they lose the first one against Baltimore. Now they've bounced back in 1-2. But if you look at what they've got coming up, you mentioned the Orioles game today. Then they have to go to Houston for 3. Then they have Arizona at home. And don't look now, by the way, Arizona, who made the World Series last year, them and San Diego are scorching and pushing the Dodgers in the NL West. That's how good they've been. So if they can just make it through these 3 weeks within a game or two of the wild card, I think they'll be in great shape to make the playoffs. But if they fall off, let's say they, you know, lose today, or they lose 2 out of 3 to Houston, or they struggle against Arizona, then it's going to be a real uphill battle when, unfortunately, after that Arizona series, their schedule softens up a bit. They just have to get to that point where they can be within a game or two, and then I think they can make up that ground in September. But if they get to that point and they're 3.5, 4, 4.5 games out, then it might be too much for them to be able to make up. So right now they're 2.5. They're there. If they can just kind of stay in this range between now and after that Arizona series, I think then they'll be in good shape to make the playoffs. Whereas if they can't, then we might be looking at another year without October baseball here.
Yeah, final game in this series against Baltimore and the last one for the season, 1:35 here, first pitch on WEEI. 12:35, Joe Weil has your pregame here on WEEI. I think if the Red Sox find themselves winning this series, going into Houston, you would figure like, okay, you're going to start that series with Tanner Houck and then Pivetta and then Criswell. So if you're like, all right, we believe that if we can get this win against Baltimore, we'd be on a roll, because you would have won a close game, you won a blowout game in those back-to-backs, depending on what happens today's game. I think you'll see probably a lower scoring game again today. But if you can get to Houston and Houck starts that series off hot, there is a good chance I think they could win 2 out of 3 in that series, despite what you just saw happen here at Fenway just last week. So again, you mentioned this brutal series that's coming up with Houston, then Arizona, then after that you've got you want to call a reprise, but you got Toronto, and then you've got Detroit, and then you're at New York once you get to the start of September. You're absolutely right. If this is make or break time, you got Cassis back. How are you feeling in terms of his timing at the plate?
So I'll go back to Friday night, which I thought was an encouraging night for Tristan Casas. Number one, and I know you asked about the plate, but that double play he turned at first base, I don't know if Dom Smith makes that play. And maybe he does, maybe he doesn't. But Casas, that was a really good play. And then he gets a hit in his second at bat, which was encouraging. Last night, he's 2 for 4. So it feels like he's kind of hit the ground running, at least from the plate, which is a good thing. And look, the Red Sox offense, I think, is good enough to be a playoff team even without Casas, but you put him in the mix, and maybe some of those games you've been losing 7-4, not maybe you win some of those games and helps put you over the edge. Also, maybe his defense helps you out a little bit. I know their main defensive problems have been at short and second base, but you know, maybe he just helps it even incrementally. It helps you out. So I've been pretty happy, at least with the first couple games, of Casas being back.
Yeah, if you look at the lineup now with him in there, it looks so much more impressive. So you go with Duran in the one spot, Hamilton in the 2, Cassis at the 3, or maybe you put Devers at the 3, Cassis at the 4. You can mix that up, and then you've got Tyler O'Neill, who's had a really good season. Connor Wong has been above impressive. So now you have a lineup that you're like, okay, yes, it's still left-handed dominant, but you've got better quality at-bats there. And with the speed between Hamilton, what Hamilton's like 32 stolen bases so far, Duran is up there in stolen bases as well. So now you have that speed element, which is the distraction that's going to force pitchers to throw more fastballs to Cassis just because of the base stealing abilities between Duran and Hamilton. So, and plus Wheeler, remember when Brad Foe predicted at the beginning of the year, he said Wheeler Abreu would be the starting right fielder, and people were like, it's a genuine surprise. So you've got a legit offensive lineup that can compete. Like, again, you put up 12 runs. You're not Corbin Burns silly on Friday
most
night.
Runs Corbin Burns given up all year, shortest outing all year.
Right. So if you've got that offensive power, yeah, you figure, okay, as long as the Red Sox can be in games where they're going to be battles, 7-6, 8-6 games, like I said, it favors the Red Sox. 12-10 favors the Red Sox, right? Last night, 5-1. So, but at one point, that game was a 1-1 game, and they were in it. So if they can continue to do that, the bats just have to stay hot. You're still concerned about the pitching, but maybe they turn some things around. Rich Hill is coming back for his eighth stint with the Red Sox. And so maybe that's someone who can just give a bit of reprieve. That, you know, that's what James Paxton was supposed to do until his Achilles went. So hopefully you can get that from Rich Hill. You're not asking him. You know, he may be that surprise story that comes in and may go like 3-1 for the rest of the season, but it allows these other starters to be able to get up their juices to compete and give the team a chance during the stretch.
Yeah, and I think this style of like, hey, we can win 6-3 or 8-4 games, that's not going to get you to win playoff games and playoff series, but it should be good enough to probably get you there, right? So like, talk about making the playoffs. I think it can get you there. I don't think it can win you playoff games when the pitching and defense really tightens up and you start playing the elite teams. But again, I think it's good enough to get you there. Their lineup's been good all year. And you mentioned the base paths. I mean, Hamilton and Duran are 5th and 6th in the MLB in stolen bases. That's going to force, like you said, more fastballs to a guy like Costas coming back. I think it helps him adjust coming back. And he's been good so far coming back. It's just what they got out of Bayo last night. Can they get that 2 or 3 more times before the end of the year? If they can, that's a huge bonus, which I think is going to help get them in the postseason. If that's a flash in the pan and he really has kind of fallen off this second half of this year, then you're in a little bit more trouble.
KJ and Lions, WEEI, 617-779-7937. Text line 37937. We continue the Red Sox conversation next, plus your calls. But right now it's time to trend with Jacob Lassner.
Your home of the Sox. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
The Red Sox defeated the Orioles last night, 5-1. Brian Bayo went 6 innings and allowed 1 run. He also struck six batters out and took a no-hitter into the 6th inning. The bullpen was lights out as well, as they went 3 scoreless innings. Jarren Duran saved the game in the 9th with yet another home run robbery out in center field. The Red Sox currently sit 2.5 games out of the 3rd wild card, as the Kansas City Royals defeated the Reds 13-1 last night. Alex Cora had this to say after the game.
He had no-hit stuff. I mean, he had no-hitter going into the 6th. Two outs there.
It was
a no-hitter going into the 6th. Uh-huh. Were you thinking about maybe this guy could take it that way far, or
at least with bullpen help?
The way the pitch count was up. You know, he walked a few guys. He got into some deep counts, but right now we're not looking for no-hitters or perfect games. We're looking for Ws, you know, and that was a big one for us.
The Red Sox are back in action tonight at 1:35 on the Shaw's and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's, perfecting the art of fresh. Tyler Murray and Will Fleming are on the call. Cutter Crawford is on the mound for the Sox. Albert Suarez for the Orioles. The Sox lineup has not been announced yet. Mass Mutual pregame show at 12:35. Mass Mutual Insurance Planning Investments. Joe Weil has you covered for that. Some other games to look out for from around the MLB with wild card implications. Royals at Reds at 1:40. Twins at Rangers 2:35. Mariners at Pirates at 1:35. and the Patriots are back on the practice field today to prep for their third preseason game next Sunday against the Commanders. My name is Jacob Lasner, and that's what's trending on WEEI and WEEI.com.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame.
Two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the remarkable fighter. Drink responsibly, beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
KJ and Lions on WEEI.
Yeah, KJ and Lions, WEEI. Sports entertainment at its finest one day a week. 617-779-7937. Text line 37937. Keywords still to come. Kaepernick, WNBA, Nostradamus, EA College Football 25, and breakups. Let's go to Steve in Fall River. Steve, thank you so much for calling KJ and Lions, and good Sunday to you.
I think you get the idea right on the Red Sox. You have the wrong date. The date you want to be two games out in the loss column, the most three, is September 15th. I don't just say this. Heim Bloom was fired on September 14th last year. That leaves you about 13 games left, two weeks and change, and you can do something in that time. I just looked up the schedule. It's hotter in the first half of September. The heavy lifting is going to be now through September 15th. But it's not September 1st. It's when you wake up on September 15th, you're playing the Yankees. Where are you? And there you go. You're in your final stretch of the season. 2.5 weeks. You break the season up in 2 to 2.5 weeks. There's a bunch of 2.5 week stanzas. And a lot of things can happen. That's 3 or 4 series. That gives you a little momentum. As you know, it's a long season. They went into Kansas City and they won, and then they went here, and then they got blown out by Houston, and now they're going to potentially beat Baltimore. It's all into that 145, 48 games, and then you get the last run, and that's where it is. As far as the Drake, yes.
Oh, go ahead. Finish your thought. Yes, if you want to.
No, I was switching to the Patriots. You probably wanted to ask me something about the Red Sox.
No, go ahead. You're on the phone. Go ahead.
Drake May. This is a decade pick. If this pick is wrong, which most likely it is, you're looking at a decade of last place. unless there's a change in ownership, which is not very likely, if somebody comes in and wants to spend. You got rid of Belichick, and the move with Drake Bay, that third pick, was to parlay that into another pick. Who knows if you could have got, I don't know what the trade would have been. Maybe you could have gotten Drake May in further down the line, depending on what you traded for. But you needed two more picks, two number ones, and whatever that next pick was. So that's what you needed to do. And you needed to keep the guy that's down in Jacksonville. You did not need to bring in Jacoby Brissett for $8 million. You could have kept the other guy here, Jones, for $3 million. So you'd have had $5 million to spend, and you'd have had two other impactful players. The last thing I want to say is you
okay,
never.
That's it. Okay, all right, Steve, there you go. Steve, what? Thanks for the call. Yeah, I mean, at some point, you're like, Steve's just going to have to apply for a job and get a show. Okay, so look, 2 minutes away from a conspiracy theory that we've been saying on the show about the Celtics with Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum, we're not alone. That's in 2 minutes. John, I want you to get your thoughts first on what he's saying about the Red Sox, that they still have time.
So they do, but I think this three-week stretch they're in that started with Kansas City, goes through, you know, Baltimore now, then to Houston, that's the key. Because then after that, the schedule, and in mid-September, yeah, they have the Orioles and the Yankees. But if you look at after this series against Arizona that ends August 25th, you got four games against Toronto, you're better than them. Three games against Detroit, who just traded Jack Flaherty, you're better than them. The Mets have been playing a lot better over the last couple of months in that three-game series.
And now you get the beginning of September.
Right, but you can still hang with them. And then you got three against the White Sox, you should be able to win. And then you get Baltimore and New York, sure. But then the month ends of September with Toronto and Tampa Bay, two teams you should beat. So if you could just get to the beginning of September, but really just get through August 25th where you're within a couple games, I think you're in great shape.
Well, I think there's no better time than the present with the Red Sox, and if you need to handle what you need to handle, do it now, because there's no longer the August pickups that you used to be able to do. That's gone. So if you were thinking that, hey, maybe the Red Sox can get some help next month, Major League Baseball doesn't do that anymore. So I think you've got to roll with what you got now. I think there are chances if Casas can get back on the roll that he was on before he was injured, if Rafi stays hot as he's been, and as Duran has been the all-star that he's been, like we were just saying in the last break, if they've got that speed and that pop going, then I say that's where the bats can compete. I think this goes back to, John, what we've talked about throughout the season is these young arms who've never gone this far, as the season continues to go further, it continues to be the deepest they've ever gone. So where James Paxton was supposed to be the guy that would help relieve that, gets hurt before you really can even throw a pitch or two. Now you're bringing in Rich Hill to try and help out with that. You'll see what that does. But you almost feel like this Red Sox team is going to have to, the only way they're going to be able to compete is to absolutely outscore teams, you know, like put up 6 and 7 runs per game somewhere around. They're going to have to average about 5 runs per game just so what you feel like they could win a 5-4 game.
Yeah, and again, I think that's something that can get you to the playoffs. I don't think you'll win a lot of playoff games with that formula, right. But that is something that if you go through the schedule and you're doing that, I think that can at least get you to the playoffs, especially now that there's that extra playoff team in each league. So I think that formula, I think, can at least get you there.
And to the caller's point about Mac Jones still being here, can we get to the point that the guy didn't even, not only was he not a leader in the locker room, but we're talking about one of the biggest turtle jobs I've ever seen in terms of standing forward, taking account. I mean, we're in this meme era. Like, you know, like you saw Mac Jones happier at Taylor Swift concerts than you did at NFL games. Am I lying? Hey.
And look, I wouldn't be shocked if Mac goes to Jacksonville and does okay as a backup there, but yeah. It's kind of like the Chris Sale situation with the Red Sox. Like, he's doing great in Atlanta.
Chris Sale's about to win a Cy Young.
But. No, but he's doing great in Atlanta, but it just felt like if he had stayed here, he would have fallen off his bike again and gotten hurt or something. Like, Mac could do well in Jacksonville as a backup. It just, I don't think it was ever going to work here after what happened in 2022 and 2023.
Well, here's the crazy thing. How do you do well as a backup when you're not even in the game? Here, he would have been in the game. So, you had a situation where I believe you got a better quality quarterback, and it's just a matter of the mental acumen being there. I think Drake May will be fine over time. If you're thinking that he's going to be the superstar right away, I don't think so. I don't think you'll see a repeat of 2021 where you're like, hey, really, you know, Trevor Lawrence is still the only one standing. I think when you look at this class, I don't think Caleb, I mean, I don't think Drake May is going to be that far out of the conversation with Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels when we get 2 or 3 years in. It's not like he's going to be so far behind, but I'm not saying he's going to outshine them either. So I think there's a right mindset of the fans, for the most part, is you don't want a repeat of what you just saw with Mac Jones. You believe you have a better physical quarterback than Mac Jones. And you have a new regime where you don't have someone like, you know, Judge or Patricia trying to dictate your growth, and they don't even know the position. So you've got better things in place for Drake May to succeed, and that's going to be key.
Yeah.
All right, Cage, go ahead.
No, I was just saying, that 2021 quarterback class, man. It's Trevor Lawrence, and you want to talk about Jags?
It's a Jag bag. That's what it is.
Yeah.
I got to just be very careful. They're playing around with words. 617-779-7937. Text line 37937. Coming up, not often, but it has to be brought out. KJ Domus answers the questions of the sports universe. That's within 15 minutes. But check out this audio here from Lou Williams, former NBA Sixth Man of the Year.
Is there a conspiracy theory going on against Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, bro?
That's a good question right here. Yeah.
No, I really want to know, because I'm trying to wrap my head around this whole concept of Jaylen Brown not being on that team.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to wrap my mind around the league trying to pit them against each other when they've never done that to two superstars.
They try to break them up for years.
For sure.
Yeah.
I've never seen that.
Nah, I never thought of that.
You didn't say break them up?
I did. Because they was beating my Sixers every year.
I knew it.
They was beating my Sixers every year. Yeah,
I knew it.
Now you got JT not getting minutes.
Yeah, it's fascinating. He's having a conversation there. Jamal Crawford is part of it. I can't identify the third voice. But, John, is this not what we've been saying here, that you're seeing these small exhibits where the NBA is very hesitant to have the Celtics as the face of the league? You've seen what happened to Jason Tatum at the Olympics, Jaylen Brown not being on the team at all, the inconsistency of Steve Kerr in his playing time and minutes, when you're thinking, hey, wait a minute, I know the Olympics ended last week, but at the end of the day, you have it. There's no matchup in the world that can compete with the USA. So is Lou Williams listening to KJ and Lions and taking that to the other shows? That's no problem. Thank you so much. But are we wrong that there might be some type of thing afoot where you just don't, the league just doesn't want to see that much talent on one team that they don't want to push forward?
So I don't know if I would go as far as to say there's some grand conspiracy with the NBA pulling the strings to really mess with the Celtics, but I will say, I think their preference is for other markets to be the dominant team. And what I mean by that is the NBA schedule came out, 4 or 5 days ago, whenever it was. And you know who has the most national TV games?
The Lakers.
And then you know who has the second most?
The Warriors.
Yeah, so it's like those. And don't get me wrong, I know they're great franchises. I know it's LeBron and Steph. I mean, those two teams didn't even make the conference finals last year. The Celtics had... And I know we can nitpick, and of course, you know, we at times on the station we do, but they had a top 15 or top 20 all-time dominant season last year en route to a championship. They won the finals in 5 games, won 64 games in the regular season. All their playoff series were 5 games or less, including a conference finals sweep, and yet they're the third most national TV games. Their second best player, who on a lot of teams would be the best player, is left off the Olympic team. Their best player, who's on the Olympic team, gets randomly benched for... inexplicable reasons, especially the second time around. So while I don't think there's a grand conspiracy against them, no. I think the league gets more excited when a team like Miami or Chicago 30 years ago or the Lakers are really good in winning championships instead of, say, the Celtics.
Okay, so you just hit me something.
I mean, sorry to cut you off, but do you remember how many people around the NBA and connected to the NBA were saying in June, oh, Dallas, they're going to win this series against the Celtics. The Celtics have an uphill battle.
I don't think those were serious people.
Those are people, whether they worked for ESPN or major media companies, man, or people around the NBA saying, like, oh, Luka, he's the guy, and this Dallas team is different since the trade deadline, which, yeah, they were better since the trade deadline. But, like, I mean, you and I were sitting there like, man, the Celtics are going to win this in 5 or 6 games.
Right.
They're a lot better. Like, nobody around here was surprised, but it felt like the national conversation was, these guys are the guys that always come up short. They're going to lose this series. Dallas is a bigger, more flashier market, bigger team, flashier team, if you will. So that's what the conversation was all centered around.
So it's interesting because you mentioned the NBA schedule, or the Lakers and the Warriors. have the first and second most games shown on television. Let me tie this to the sale of the Celtics that Wick is giving up his majority stake, the family is. So I think whoever is in the process of buying this team has to keep in mind the world picture of the NBA. So I'm like, okay, wait a minute. Why would the Lakers and the Warriors, when the Warriors are a declining team and the Lakers is a team that only won a championship, playing their games in a bubble? Okay, so in terms of recent memory, sure. I was just like, oh, it makes sense. Beijing is 12 hours ahead. So a game that starts at 9:30, 10 o'clock Eastern time is starting at about 10 o'clock in the morning in Beijing. So if you know how world business is, a lot of these guys, they're more at lunch having cocktails between 10 and 2 than they really are doing work, because America's still kind of waking up or they're dead asleep. So this is the teams that you want to show, but if you're showing a Celtics game, it's at 7 in the morning, and like any human being, who's getting up at 7 in the morning to watch an NBA game? So whoever is in the mix of buying this team, and I think this is the point they're going to have to bring to the NBA, is if you bring in international investment, you need to put the Celtics in there because they've got the history, they've got two superstars, and look, this is somebody that you can get your Beijing doubleheader for. You up at 7 getting the kids ready? You guys can sit around and watch a Celtics game. The kids love the Celtics. While you're at work, you can watch LeBron and Steph while you're having cocktails with your London businessman. I know this is getting really deep in the woods, but I think that plays a part of it, because you would ask yourself, why the Warriors, who lost in the play-in tournament, did they not last year?
Yeah, the Lakers, didn't they just flat out miss the playoff? Or did they lose in the play-in? I don't remember exactly.
I think they missed the playoffs straight out. So you're not talking about a Denver or Minnesota or an Oklahoma City, and I get that, but why are you not talking about a top 10 market team with the most franchise wins in the history of the game? Its biggest rival is the team you put on television the most. But you would almost say, okay, if the Lakers are on the television the most, you would think maybe the Celtics should be number two, at least if you're trying to get that balance that's going. But the only reason why I'm thinking is they're like, okay, in terms of world, because you know the NBA is really pointing their arrows a lot to the international market. I think it's something like 300 million people in China watch the NBA, and there's only 330 million people here in America. So the amount of people that just watch the NBA is almost the same amount of people that are physically here. This is why I think once you start getting into who's going to buy the team next, it might be from that international pool, because if you could start get the Celtics coming, what goes opposite with red? Green, right? Red and green. So if you can get people who are into green, or maybe that starts something, that'd be like to shut it down. But my point being is, the Celtics need to be part of this international mix, and that's why when you hear these stories of breaking up Tatum and Brown and so forth, and it's a bit believable. I'm not saying it's a 20%, but maybe a 5% chance that, hey, they feel like there's just too much concentration in a market that they don't want to promote, and it's like, damn the market you don't want to promote. Is it top 10? Yes. Does it have history? Yes. Is it winning? Yes. So why are you not pushing it? That's all I would want to know.
And I think, and what's Boston, their eighth TV market? I think you said top
8 in
10.
TV. I think eight in TV, 10 in radio.
Yeah, so I think what the NBA wants to avoid is a Kevin Durant on the Warriors situation, where it was like for 2 years in a row, you knew this team was going to win the finals, and even if one of their best players got hurt, they were still going to win the finals. And I don't know if there's a little worry that the Celtics could become like that. And I'm not saying they'd be as good as the 2017 Warriors, but just so dominant, and now that they've got over the hump and won, and they're so connected with each other, I wonder if the NBA is a little bit, and we saw it in the CBA, right? The CBA with all these penalties. It's one of the reasons that the Grosbeck family is having to sell the team. I mean, you have these luxury repeater tax penalties that almost make it prohibitive, and you and I have talked about this, and I strongly believe this. It's not just going to penalize the Celtics. It's going to screw over the Oklahoma City Thunder, the Orlando Magic, the Indiana Pacers. All these teams that are building through the draft or have built through the draft are going to get penalized for being smart, but it's going to probably help out that balance of the league. We've seen a different champion every year the last six, and if the NBA is looking to international markets, I think that's an easier thing to market, to say, hey, we have all these stars across the league. We have all these dominant teams. Anybody can win a championship in any given year. I think they're really trying. So, again, I don't think it's a grand conspiracy, but I also don't think they want dynasties like in the old days. I think they'd rather have maybe occasionally have a repeat champion, but for the most part have a different champion every year.
Yeah, but John, how many houses in Oklahoma City are three-bedroom, one-and-a-half baths that go for $700,000?
Maybe two.
Yeah, like none.
SGA's house and someone else's.
Yeah, I'm sure it's got more than one-and-a-half bathrooms. The point I'm getting at is because there's such a financial wealth that exists here that the NBA, I'm surprised why they're not over-tapping into that. Like, this is one of those markets where, let's say the Celtics have an international game in London, that people in the greater New England area can use their money to go fly out and root on the Celtics in London, and it just be part of a vacation package. Where in Oklahoma City, you know, there's still a desire to still have some of these tickets to not be more than $40, no matter who's on the team.
Well, I wish the Celtics had tickets that weren't more than $40.
Brother, that the last time, and there's an
the
old
last
video.
Time that happened, I think, was the last time I bought a Celtics ticket under $40, I think, was in the 2009 playoffs.
Bro,
that was the last time. There
is a video, I think it's an old GBH video, where they talk to a woman. Where I think it might have been around the 81 season, where her ticket, her season ticket price went up to like $500 for the season. I was just like, that's like half a seat.
You know,
when
that's
the
get-in price for the Knicks game on opening night.
See,
to
that's
see the
what's
banner.
Crazy.
I looked it up the other day. It's over $500 for just to get in the door.
You could not do that in Oklahoma City. You could not do that in Indiana. There is just that they would. I don't want to say ride in the streets. I'm on a federally communicated device, but you know they would really like, what is going on? We're here. It's kind of designed to show the exclusivity, right? It's, think about it. This is one of those towns where it's going to, it easily is going to run you a grip, at least a wad or a band, at least $1,000.
Wow, look at you throwing out all those vocab words.
I've been listening to Polo G. We'll get into some of Polo G in a second.
There you go, KJ.
So look, and on the front row, it's people necessarily you don't reckon, you don't know who they are, right? In other teams, it's like, it's just a superstar or as a movie person. Here, you can always say who are the five people that you're going to recognize. It's going to be somebody from the Patriots. It's going to be one of the Wahlberg brothers, you know, and Big Poppy's going to show. Yeah, well, that's the only thing I'm going to have a question, right? Because I'm like, you know what? Like, I need new shoes.
For, it's Greg.
Yeah, I need clothing for school shopping here in a little bit. And if Greg's got front row seats, I need to talk to somebody about upping the pay around here for KJ.
Oh, I just want a ticket to opening night. That's all I want.
You got to ask for what matters to your life, not just
that
for
matters
one night.
To my life.
Yeah, that's only for one night. I'm talking about steady. Every time I'm going to, in negotiations, I'm going to be like, I saw Greg Hill courtside at the Celtics game 10 times this season. That's at least 10 grand right there. So I know you got a budget to throw me some $26, $27 extra, you know. So, no, but seriously, though, Boston is a market where people who aren't famous are sitting front row and can get up and fly anywhere in the world to go see these teams play. So you can't do that with some of these smaller market teams. And if the NBA knows that, then there's this thing called cost per point. Well, the cost per point for a person in New England is going to be much higher because based on income and so forth. Like I said, take one of these small houses that go for a three-bedroom. It's not even really three-bedroom. It's like a converted closet and they stuck a window in it, you know?
Yeah, and the NBA is sending the Celtics and Nuggets to Abu Dhabi, right, for training camp, which I think is just so stupid. But at least they are sending them somewhere internationally. So yeah, it's not like they're freezing them out completely. But again, I think it's like, look at all the hype this summer that's been around the Knicks. Like, oh, they traded for Bridges. They did this. I'm like, yeah, okay. Like, the Celtics are still better than them. Like, what do you think? And the Knicks are better. Don't get me wrong. The Knicks are legit. They could go to the conference finals. Like, but if they played the Celtics in a conference finals, like, I'm picking the Celtics in probably six games.
All right, KJ and Lyons, 617-779-7937. Text messages next, 37937. Thank you so much for hanging out with us on a Sunday here on WEEI.
This is KJ and Lyons on WEEI.
Can you see expansion happening in some cities like Boston that have a historical base and add now a WNBA team?
All in all, I think everybody is realizing the power of women's basketball, and they know now is the time to get in on it. I think they're trying to be proactive now than retroactive, which they've largely been for a large part of the WNBA's existence.
KJ and Lyons on WEEI. Thank you so much for starting your Sunday with us. 617-779-7937. Text line 37937. John, that's from a month ago, July 21st. I had Kelsey Nicole Nelson on right at the WNBA All-Star break. asking, like, look, I really believe that Boston is really primed for a WNBA franchise. And not knowing this, but Tuesday, the Connecticut Sun will be playing the first WNBA game ever in Boston. And getting tickets to that is almost like trying to break into Fort Knox. It's going to be absolutely crazy. They've got a pregame festival going on. My buddy Maverick will be DJing it. Maverick is an old co-worker of mine. So they are really, I think they're really laying out the red carpet. And that's going to lead to us getting into KJ Domus here in about 2 minutes. That the WNBA, I think, is coming here. And they might even make a play for Caitlin Clark when her contract's up in Indiana.
Well, and what's encouraging, I think, is not just that they've sold out the TD Garden for this, but it's a game where Caitlin Clark is not coming to town, right?
Thank
because
you.
I think in a lot of places, she's been a big attraction, obviously, and rightfully so. She's been a big attraction.
Right.
Right. And to sell out the Garden without having the Caitlin Clark factor, I think is more encouraging because if they sold out because Caitlin Clark was coming or just because, you know, say, Angel Reese was coming,
right,
then you could say, oh, well, people wanted to come to see that particular star, right? But if you sell out when it's just a quote-unquote regular matchup without that, you know, elite star in Caitlin
Clark. The Sparks are one of the worst teams in the league.
Right. So when you sell that out, I think it's more encouraging to say, okay, we could maybe sell out or at least have decent attendance on a regular basis. But I think the thing to think about here is the Connecticut Sun, because yeah, you know where they play their home games, KJ.
Right, the gambling is established.
Mohegan Sun.
Yeah,
like,
there you go.
The TD Garden's a much better place to play your home games than Mohegan Sun. So
well,
I
you got
see,
gambling right across the street from TD. Jump over the water and you're there.
I could see them moving the Connecticut Sun eventually to Boston. Like,
no,
I don't think I don't foresee an additional team like a Boston and a Connecticut team. I don't think that would happen.
No, see, that's why on that show that I had Kelsey Nicole Nelson on, I talked about how New Balance increased their spend. The money for the revenue for television, they've doubled that. They've doubled the spend. So you've got New Balance headquarters right here. Yep. And if you create a Boston, Connecticut Sun, New York Liberty triangle, now you've got something going on that doesn't even have Caitlin Clark in its mix that can dominate the way that the old Big East used to in terms of college basketball, and they could do that in the WNBA. It would
I'd
be
worry
huge.
About oversaturation with that. Like two teams in New England. Because again, and don't get me wrong, the WNBA.
Well, is it New England? Isn't it like aren't they like right there at that cutoff where it's kind of like some people are wearing the Yankees cap, other people are wearing the Red Sox hat, you know?
They are, and I know the WNBA is more popular than it's ever been, and the level of play has been terrific over the past several years and throughout most of its history, but the popularity has exploded. But I still don't think it's at that point where you can, like, you know how New York has the Nets and the Knicks? Like,
right.
I don't know if they're at the, I don't think they're at the point where they can have the Connecticut Sun and the New York Liberty and, you know, a team in Boston.
I think Connecticut is so strong because of UConn, you can keep a team there. It would be like, the Green Bay Packers still surviving in the NFL, right? Like,
NFL.
Well, but I'm just saying for the WNBA, the state of Connecticut and what they do produce from the college ranks is part of none. It's way past what Tennessee used to be. So I think that's why you still can keep a team in Connecticut and have one in Boston and both teams still be able to thrive and eat and be able to have this kind of three-way, because everybody likes three-way, against New York, that you just have, hey, the whole northeastern quadrant has this WNBA thing that's stronger than probably anything else that goes beyond personalities. I know we could talk WNBA all day, but I'm married. No, totally kidding. Let's go to the text line before we get to KJ Domus. 37937. What you got, Jacob?
So I have Mac is resetting his career in Jacksonville, surrounded by supporting players, and Peterson is a great offensive coach.
That's great, but I mean, how many people?
I agree.
Yeah, but you know, like if you're running 26 miles on a treadmill, are you running a marathon?
No.
Okay. It's plenty enough.
There you go. One more text before we get to KJ Domus.
I have Zappy is below a Jag.
Yeah, he's a Zag.
Well, look, that's the whole thing. Not great, not bad. So you believe Zappy's worse than bad?
I mean, yeah.
I guess so.
That sounds like what the text is saying.
All right. We'll get to more of your text. Plus, we'll get to the football talk still to come. The Lions Den, EA College Football 25, Drake May, Coke Freestyle Machine, and Elliot Wolf. But now it's time for
KJ Domus. Will the Patriots get a mobile quarterback?
Will the Red Sox ever spend money again?
KJ Domus, should I move in with my girl?
KJ Domus, will I ever afford to buy a house in Boston?
KJ Domus.
KJ has predicted the demise of Mac Jones,
yes.
The acquisition of Kristaps Porzingis,
yes.
The Patriots winning less than six games in 2023, yes. And most recently, the all-at-once Worcester Red Sox call-ups. KJ Domus can see the future, just not his own.
Watch it.
It's KJ Domus.
All right, KJ Domus, let's get this started. After the Steve Kerr, Jason Tatum Olympics disaster, will there be a conflict involving Draymond Green and the Celtics when Golden State comes to TD Garden next season?
Draymond Green, I see him as nuts. Yes, a conflict, but not like in Jordan Poole. The conflict will be internal inside of Draymond. See, Draymond still thinks about how he manhandled Jaylen Brown in the NBA Finals and loves the way Boston fans gives it to him. His memories will run wild, but be careful, JB. Draymond may try to take a reverse offensive charge. Don't upset the great KJ Domus!
KJ Domus, the Jets have been a mess since Aaron Rodgers has arrived. What happens to their fortunes this season?
I see a coup coming on, but as in Q-Tip, I believe a moment of desperation to fend off Rodgers, Robert Saleh will accidentally sneeze in Aaron Rodgers' face, producing enough germs to give Rodgers the flu late in the season. Tyrod Taylor not only loses a lung, but loses a game in Rodgers' absence, and down goes the Jets. KJ Domus knows all! Where's my soundtrack?
KJ Domus. Will we see Drake May start by week five of the season?
Yes! In fact, the way the preseason has gone for Jacoby Brissett, Eddie Murphy could be the quarterback in 48 hours. If Brissett looks bad in weeks one and two, the magic number will be three for Drake May. Three is the magic number. Yes, it is.
Oh, KJ Domus, is it true that you lost by 70 to John Lyons in
You really trying to piss
football?
Off KJ Domus right now? 70 to nothing. Did I lose that much? Chappaquiddick! No, I did not lose 70 nothing. Dare you say something, Lyons, to KJ Domus?
It wasn't 70 to nothing. I will say that.
So there's sports and life into the future from KJ Domus! Where's my soundtrack? Where's my little sound? No sound. KJ Domus can't get one more thunder. Damn, what a brother gotta do to get some thunder. Hour three. KJ Lyons next. This show, take it seriously if you want. Here on WEEI.
This is KJ and Lyons on WEEI.
Can you see expansion happening in some cities like Boston that have a historical base and add now a WNBA team?
So all in all, I think everybody is realizing the power of women's basketball, and they know now is the time to get in on it. I think they're trying to be proactive now than retroactive, which they've largely been for a large part of the WNBA's existence.
KJ and Lyons on WEEI. Thank you so much for starting your Sunday with us. 617-779-7937. Text line 37937. John, that's from a month ago, July 21st. I had Kelsey Nicole Nelson on right at the WNBA All-Star break asking, like, look, I really believe that Boston is really primed for a WNBA franchise. And not knowing this, but Tuesday, the Connecticut Sun will be playing the first WNBA game ever in Boston. And getting tickets to that is almost like trying to break into Fort Knox. It's going to be absolutely crazy. They've got a pregame festival going on. My buddy Maverick will be DJing it. Maverick is an old co-worker of mine. So they are really, I think they're really laying out the red carpet. And that's going to lead to us getting into KJ Domus here in about 2 minutes. That the WNBA, I think, is coming here. And they might even make a play for Caitlin Clark when her contract's up in Indiana.
Well, and what's encouraging, I think, is not just that they've sold out the TD Garden for this, but it's a game where Caitlin Clark is not coming to town, right?
Thank
because
you.
I think in a lot of places, she's been a big attraction, obviously, and rightfully so. She's been a big attraction,
right?
Right, and to sell out the Garden without having the Caitlin Clark factor, I think is more encouraging, because if they sold out because Caitlin Clark was coming, or just because, you know, say Angel Reese was coming,
right,
then you could say, oh, well, people wanted to come to see that particular star, right? But if you sell out when it's just a quote-unquote regular matchup without that, you know, elite star in Caitlin
Clark. The Sparks are one of the worst teams in the league.
Right. So when you sell that out, I think it's more encouraging to say, okay, we could maybe sell out, or at least have decent attendance on a regular basis. But I think the thing to think about here is the Connecticut Sun, because you know where they play their home games, KJ.
Right, the gambling is established.
Mohegan Sun.
Yeah,
like,
there you go.
The TD Garden's a much better place to play your home games than Mohegan Sun. So
you got gambling right across the street from TD. Jump over the water and you're there.
I could see them moving the Connecticut Sun eventually to Boston. I don't foresee an additional team, like a Boston and a Connecticut team.
Oh, no, see.
I don't think that would happen.
No, see, that's why on that show that I had Kelsey Nicole Nelson on, I talked about how New Balance increased their spend. The money for the revenue for television, they've doubled that. They've doubled the spend. So you've got New Balance headquarters right here. Yep. And if you create a Boston, Connecticut Sun, New York Liberty triangle, now you've got something going on that doesn't even have Caitlin Clark in its mix that can dominate the way that the old Big East used to in terms of college basketball, and they could do that in the WNBA.
I'd worry about oversaturation with that. Like two teams in New England. Because again, and don't get me wrong, the WNBA.
Well, is it New England? Isn't it like aren't they like right there at that cutoff where it's kind of like some people are wearing the Yankees cap, other people are wearing the Red Sox hat, you know?
They are, and I know the WNBA is more popular than it's ever been, and the level of play has been terrific over the past several years and throughout most of its history, but the popularity has exploded. But I still don't think it's at that point where you can, like, you know how New York has the Nets and the Knicks? Like,
right.
I don't know if they're at the, I don't think they're at the point where they can have the Connecticut Sun and the New York Liberty and, you know, a team in Boston.
I think Connecticut is so strong because of UConn, you can keep a team there. It would be like, the Green Bay Packers still surviving in the NFL, right? Like,
NFL.
Well, but I'm just saying for the WNBA, the state of Connecticut and what they do produce from the college ranks is part of none. It's way past what Tennessee used to be. So I think that's why you still can keep a team in Connecticut and have one in Boston and both teams still be able to thrive and eat and be able to have this kind of three-way, because everybody likes three-way, against New York, that you just have, hey, the whole northeastern quadrant has this WNBA thing that's stronger than probably anything else that goes beyond personalities. I know we could talk WNBA all day, but I'm married. No, I'm totally kidding. Let's go to the text line before we get to KJ Domus. 37937. What you got, Jacob?
So I have Mac is resetting his career in Jacksonville, surrounded by supporting players, and Peterson is a great offensive coach.
That's great, but I mean, how many people?
I agree.
Yeah, but you know, like if you're running 26 miles on a treadmill, are you running a marathon?
No.
Okay. It's plenty enough.
There you go. One more text before we get to KJ Domus.
I have Zappy is below a Jag.
Yeah, he's a Zag.
Well, look, that's the whole thing. Not great, not bad. So you believe Zappy's worse than bad?
I mean, I
guess so.
That sounds like what the text is saying.
All right. We'll get to more of your text. Plus, we'll get to the football talk still to come. The Lions Den, EA College Football 25, Drake May, Coke Freestyle Machine, and Elliot Wolf. But now it's time for
KJ Domus. Will the Patriots get a mobile quarterback?
Will the Red Sox ever spend money again?
KJ Domus, should I move in with my girl?
KJ Domus, will I ever afford to buy a house in Boston?
KJ Domus.
KJ has predicted the demise of Mac Jones,
yes.
The acquisition of Kristaps Porzingis,
yes.
The Patriots winning less than six games in 2023,
yes.
And most recently, the all-at-once Worcester Red Sox call-ups. KJ Domus can see the future, just not his own.
Watch it.
It's KJ Domus.
All right, KJ Domus, let's get this started. After the Steve Kerr, Jason Tatum Olympics disaster, will there be a conflict involving Draymond Green and the Celtics when Golden State comes to TD Garden next season?
Draymond Green, I see him as nuts. Yes, a conflict, but not like in Jordan Poole. The conflict will be internal inside of Draymond. See, Draymond still thinks about how he manhandled Jaylen Brown in the NBA Finals and loves the way Boston fans gives it to him. His memories will run wild, but be careful, JB. Draymond may try to take a reverse offensive charge. Don't upset the great KJ Domus!
KJ Domus, the Jets have been a mess since Aaron Rodgers has arrived. What happens to their fortunes this season?
I see a coup coming on, but as in Q-Tip, I believe a moment of desperation to fend off Rodgers, Robert Saleh will accidentally sneeze in Aaron Rodgers' face, producing enough germs to give Rodgers the flu late in the season. Tyrod Taylor not only loses a lung, but loses a game in Rodgers' absence, and down goes the Jets. KJ Domus knows all. Where's my sound effect?
KJ Domus. Will we see Drake May start by week 5 of the season?
Yes! In fact, the way the preseason has gone for Jacoby Brissett, Eddie Murphy could be the quarterback in 48 hours. If Brissett looks bad in weeks 1 and 2, the magic number will be 3 for Drake May. 3 is the magic number. Yes, it is.
Oh, KJ Domus, is it true that you lost by 70 to John Lyons in
You really
EA
trying to piss
football?
Off KJ Domus right now? 70 to nothing. Did I lose that much? Chappaquiddick! No, I did not lose 70 nothing. Dare you say something, Lyons, to KJ Domus?
It wasn't 70 to nothing. I will say that.
So there's sports and life into the future from KJ Domus. Where's my soundtrack? Where's my little sound? No sound. KJ Domus can't get one more thunder. Damn, what a brother got to do to get some thunder. Hour 3. KJ Lyons next. This show, take it seriously if you want. Here on WEEI.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse wrap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.